Well, welcome everyone to It's Marriage Podcast, our next edition, summer.
Right.
Summer edition. And we have with us
newlyweds.
Newlyweds this time.
Can we still call them newlyweds?
Yeah. Well, very easily. Yeah. It's less than a year. So that's definitely considered a newlywed. But with us today, this morning, it's not morning, it's afternoon.
We're not going to edit. We are just gonna going to let this roll.
Yes, Jacob and Tori Gerwig.
So Gerwig. Nice. Yeah. And you know, I think what makes this kind of special too is just heard that one of the statistics in marriages during the summer is more people are found looking for tools to help their marriages because they're struggling, or for divorce, how to file for divorce.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Isn't it? I would have thought the opposite. Yeah, so yeah. To know that summer is that stressful on our marriages, I think is something to think about.
And take serious.
Right. We're going to take us all the way back to the beginning. We're going to start with a couple who just did their vows.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy also as fast time goes. I'm thinking of Tori. It just seems like yesterday we were up at family camp and we were doing a contra dance and there was just short little girl running around the gym dancing. That's kind of a memory. And then I think of Jacob.
Young lady.
I think of Jacob just the past few years and him becoming really a part of our church and seeking the Lord for just direction for him and really his heart
for the young people and
heart for ministry and what that looks like, wanting to teach and to progress in ministry.
Right. So suffice to say, this is a young couple.
Young couple. And we're looking forward to talking with him.
Yeah.
Well, welcome Jacob and Tori to our podcast.
Hello.
It's great having you guys here. So we're going to jump right into our conversation. So first thing, I want you guys to tell us the story of how you guys met.
Okay. So the way we actually met, it was just really quick in the chapel here. Very short interaction, introduction, and that was pretty much it. Nothing crazy, nothing special.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. You don't remember?
I don't. Well, after he told me how we met, I thought, oh, maybe I do remember that. But I couldn't do it myself. He had to tell me.
That's fun.
But it was really quick, nothing special. And then we proceeded to interact with each other in passing, on and off over the next year or so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that's different than how we actually got together. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, barely interacted, on and off. And then around May, end of May, we were both invited to a fire.
This was two years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Probably 3 years ago, actually.
What were your ages? Do you mind sharing that?
Then? I was 18.
21.
Okay.
Wait, you were 20. One? Wait, hold on. That doesn't make sense.
22. Sorry.
Okay, so I was like...
You're too young to be forgetting.
Right. Nope, that's not right.
That was before I went to school?
Right before I went to college.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I was 22 or 23. Okay.
You guys are going to be fun when you get older, try to recount your story, right? All right, so you were 20...
I was probably 23.
There you go.
And we were both invited to somebody's house for a fire, and there were a bunch of kids there, and the kids wanted to go on a walk to PCA. It was right down the
corner. Oh, okay.
And Sam Mezzi was there, and he got left behind because he was distracted.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was like, I want to go.
Yep, he wanted to catch up with the kids, so he asked us to walk with him. He was like, okay, we'll walk you to find the kids. And halfway through the walk, he took off running.
Oh, no.
And we were like, Sam, what's going on? So we hadn't even gotten to PCA when he took off.
Yeah.
So we were still walking, looking for him and the other kids. And while we were walking, we just talked for a good 45 minutes about our lives, our testimonies.
Just the two of you.
And just being us. We learned later that they had all run there and gone back.
Yep.
We were just left out looking for them.
You were
in conversation.
We wandered in the PCA parking lot for a while.
Okay.
It's all over the campus looking for these kids.
Okay. Wow.
And then we finally got a text from one of the families hey, the kids are back, by the way. So then we went back. Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah.
That conversation, it was there was nothing necessarily romantic. romantic about it.
I would say that maybe there was, though.
Because, I was going to say, when you start learning each other, right? Yeah.
A few days later, I was hanging out with my friend, and as girls do, I don't know, we were just talking about things, and I was like, I think I know the kind of guy I want to marry. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I think I need him to have the personality of Jacob Gerwig. Oh. And she was like, well, why don't you just marry Jacob then? And I was like, that's crazy.
So maybe not the thought Jacob. Was in her head, yeah. But it wasn't in mine at the time. It was just like, we had gone from like acquaintances to, okay, we, you know, have a bit of a, maybe a friend-ish connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then she went to school. And I was here and we didn't really see each other, talk or interact.
So no interaction while you were away in college?
There was one phone call.
About a youth group thing?
About a youth group thing.
But did you think about each other?
A bit.
A bit?
Yeah. I didn't think about it romantically, but I did, like on occasion. I wonder how Tori's doing type of
thing. Yeah. Basically that. Mm-hmm. But then Christmas break.
And then Christmas break, her family had a couple people over for a game night and they invited me and my brother. And it was there where Tori and I would say, connected romantically for the first time.
Wow.
Was
it the dating game or what were you doing?
No, board games.
People were playing like video games in the other room. And so we were just talking.
Yeah. And after that, on our way home, my brother said, I don't remember her name, but the girl in the glasses, you should probably date that girl.
Okay, awesome. That's a brother.
And I was like, no. I was like, what are you talking about?
Wake up, bro.
Yeah. And I was interested, but I would have said, there's no way I'm going to date. Like, I'm not going to pursue it. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
That is so funny.
Was in college and I had just started working at the church. So it just wasn't going to pursue it.
Yeah.
Then she came back from school in the summer mm-hmm. and I was going to the gym a ton with Christian Nicholson and she was going with her siblings and we would always stop and talk to each other.
The Lord has a beautiful way of putting you in each other's path.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one time I ever went to the gym. Was that summer?
Okay, that's great.
And we decided to catch up one day, just made plans to get coffee. And then that time getting coffee ended up being a drive down the beach. And we found a random spot where we just sat and we talked for about 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's actually the same spot where I proposed.
Good for you.
After that, I knew there was a connection and I was praying about it a ton and she was praying about it a lot. Like, Lord, if this is your will, make it happen.
We weren't sleeping.
If it's not, take it away. That's true. We weren't sleeping.
Yeah.
It was on our minds. And then we went to a graduation party. Then rock climbing after that with a group of friends. And then I ended up driving her home. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to meet Pastor Caleb around 6 o'clock and she needed to be home for something. So on that drive, we talked and both finally recognized to each other that we're interested.
Wow.
And where do we go from here? So then my whole conversation with Pastor Caleb was about this relationship.
You're so you didn't know I was bringing this to you, but
yep. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So then after that, I think it was the next day, I talked with Pastor Dan about it. He's been my mentor for a while. And he was then too. And both Pastor Caleb and Pastor Dan asked me some great questions. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, they both said, go for it. Like, why are you trying to fight this? Just this is awesome.
Right.
Do it. Mm-hmm. So then she had the same similar conversation with her parents and people in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Then I met with her dad.
Yeah.
It was,
that would be the most alarming part.
So now bear with me. You met with her dad in regards to dating?
Yeah, to ask him for his blessing on the relationship.
Okay.
And he gave it.
Good.
So back in the day, you would have said, I want to court your daughter.
You know the blessings, though. Yeah. We've said this before here on the podcast, but I'm a firm believer in family blessing that union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm so close with my family, and even you weren't necessarily close with my parents at that point, but you were involved with my siblings and the group and everything. It's just this isn't something we can do without them being on board.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that it was I guess I'll speak for myself. It was a pleasant surprise when we heard Tori and Jacob. Wow.
Yeah, because you both were in the church, and it's always tender, special when two people come together who are in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. Yeah.
So how long did you date? Can you put a time frame on it?
About a year and 9 months.
Okay.
All right. Now, within that dating period, when did you know that you were going to be married?
Early on.
Early?
We started our relationship like very intentionally, purposefully.
You knew, yeah.
You were moving that direction towards marriage. Okay.
Our first outing after, so our second date.
Was at Kay's, getting coffee. And it was there that we kind of laid down, what do we want this to be?
Yeah. You know?
We're not in this expecting it to end.
Yeah.
So because we weren't expecting it to end, we want to act as if it's going to succeed.
Right.
Mm. So all of that being said, we wanted to build our relationship on Christ. We wanted our church community to be involved.
Yeah.
So the groundwork was planning for success, even if we never talked about marriage up until 4 to 6 months in.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 4 to 6 months in is where we both knew, okay, this is somebody that shares my values, that I enjoy being with, that, you know, we just work together.
Right. Yeah. Why not do this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing that actually attracted me to her the most was her clear devotion to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that that devotion to the Lord would always be her first priority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was something that I didn't need to worry about necessarily.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Since then, we knew which direction we were going.
Right. That's beautiful.
And it was my first relationship. So having that be because we had our first date, which we didn't necessarily know going into it. It was a date. Yeah. It sort of turned into one halfway through. our first official, okay, we're going out now. He sat down and he laid out what he was thinking and we talked about it. And that was just really reassuring for me going in. This first time,
I think that's fabulous.
I know I wanted to take it seriously, and I was glad that we are both we want as quickly as possible to figure out where is this going,
right?
And how can we get it there?
That's right.
So that was great. And by the time I went back to college at the end of that summer, we were yes.
Okay, so you go back to college.
Mm-hmm.
Is this part of the decision you end up making to move back here? Or not
part of? I don't know if I would have moved back here without it, but there were a lot of factors that played in. Also, I always knew. So I went to college out at Cedarville in Ohio. It's a great school. I really enjoyed it there. I ended up being there for a year and a half. But I always knew that I wanted to come back to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And as I was there for longer, I just kept feeling why? I'm making all these friends and building this community here in this place that I'm fully planning on leaving, not coming back to. And I have a community back over in New Hampshire that I'm committed to. I have a man there I really want to marry. Why am I doing this anymore?
Right.
I'm spending a lot of money too. So that's why part of there was a lot, but that was definitely part of it.
Well, the experience is always a plus. You can't go wrong.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad for the year and a half I did out there. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I appreciate hearing, I'll say you guys are young because you are, but just there's wisdom there at your age of how you are approaching relationship, why you're approaching relationship, and just the intentionality of you guys doing that is, oh gosh, if we could get this wisdom or this teaching or whatever you want to call this in front of the younger ages as they're approaching what you guys have approached and what you've tackled is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It just is because there's so many young kids just getting quickly married. And that's why obviously the divorce rate is so high. Mm-hmm. So amen to you guys.
And it's wanting to the Lord to lead.
Yeah.
I think that is hugely important.
We fell in love over playing games, a board game.
We did. Yeah. In a
Christian environment.
Group.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we're kind of like this couple.
Very much. It reminds me of us.
Just a long time ago.
So we're not weird. Well, maybe.
We're probably weird. Our first date involved the Nephilim and all sorts of weird conversations.
Is real? Where is it?
There we go.
Yeah, good question.
Okay, that's another podcast. All right, so fast forward. Can you tell us what was important to you about your wedding day? Because we were there.
Yes.
And it was special.
It was.
So I want to hear from you guys. What was important that that day be for you?
Mm-hmm. For the whole thing, planning, we knew from the very beginning we wanted to have as many people from our church as we could.
Yeah.
That's why we opened up the ceremony to basically, like, whoever from the church would like to come, we'd like to have you. Because I've grown up here. Yeah. He was here in high school, and then has been such an enormous part of so much of it for the last couple of years.
Yeah, leadership.
Yeah. Right. So we wanted our covenant body to be able to be there to witness it, to celebrate with us. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And that was really cool. And then obviously we also wanted the whole thing to be God honoring, and to just, like, be a special experience for people who are able to be there to see that it's not just about us committing to each other. We're committing to each other before them and before God. You know, our marriage is hopefully going to be, like, of service to our community and to our church. And ultimately, of course, it's in service to God. So we wanted that. That's why we, like, the songs we did. And I don't know. It was incredible to see how many people were just so happy to volunteer to help. Like, it couldn't have happened except that people were just coming out of the woodwork being like, I can help, I can help, I can help.
They wanted to be a part of it.
It was so awesome. Yeah.
That's community, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the most memorable part of it for so many people we've talked to has been all the kids that were able to be at reception.
Like, part of wanting it to be with our covenant body, like, that includes the oldest people in our church down to the youngest children.
Yeah.
Like, this is the church that we're committed to. This is our covenant family. Mm-hmm. We want them to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved that there were, like, all generations, like, dancing, having fun.
I kid you not. I was blessed.
Yeah.
Because of the different generations represented. And I'll even say different pockets of the church were invited. You guys were so intentional with that. I'm serious. That was so beautiful in itself. That was the church body. And how beautiful to come together to celebrate a union, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, Jacob covenant. Yeah. But it was funny because when the dance floor opened and the music started, every kid in that place was like a vacuum to that floor.
I had to hold them off. A whole group of them had come up to me, like, before dinner was even done, and were asking if I could go dance with them now. Yeah. I'm like, well, the music hasn't started yet.
I don't think, like, the father-daughter dance had even happened yet.
No, it's just crazy.
Nothing. Yeah. I was like, let's make room for the bride and groom, please.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy.
And we appreciate that also because there's so many pictures of relationships in our culture that kids are having to come face-to-face with. Mm-hmm. And it can be really, like, glamorized. And that can be tough for someone, especially a young girl, to sort through. Like, this is a good relationship. This is a bad relationship. And I'm thankful for any small part that we could play in showing this is what we want. And this is what I want for all you young girls in the church to be able to meet a man like Jacob and have a marriage like this. So,
And you teach by example. Seriously, Tori, thank you for sharing that, because I remember when I was doing the high school girls and asking them, so do you pray for your future spouse? And most of them looked at me like,
you have three heads.
Like, you mean I can do that? I'm like, yeah, let's start today. Because it does matter. I don't know. There is somewhat of a disconnect thinking God cares about that. Mm-hmm. You mean there's just not, you know, pick somebody who I kind of like and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, God is intentional as much as we want to
and
be.
And you have to be intentional.
That's right.
Yeah. You really do.
You can't be flipping about choosing someone you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Right. It's a big deal. Yeah. All right. Well, with that said, share with us what your individual thoughts about marriage are.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a loaded question, but
individual.
Well, now they're one.
I tried to break them apart. Great.
So I guess if we're talking big picture, marriage is a reflection of Christ and the church. You know, the husband is to image Christ and the wife is to imitate his bride, the church. So with that, I mean, there's so much importance with that. And not to get too ahead, but one thing that we strive to do is, to the best of our ability, reflect Christ and his church through our marriage. Mm-hmm. So like, there's that big picture. It's us joining in covenant. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm no longer my own. We are one.
Yeah.
You know, my decisions aren't just about me. They're about both of us. Mm. And I think that's, I guess, the biggest picture that I can really get there. You know, it's our union. You know, we're trying to reflect Christ and his church, mm-hmm. and we're no longer one, but or we're no longer our own, but
we're
one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe to get more like personal, I always wanted to get married. Mm-hmm. That was always something I wanted for myself, but I have a bit of a serious personality, and going to like all through high school, really was interested in anybody at all.
Yeah.
And going to college, I was like, oh, there's not much of an improvement.
they've all followed me.
Amazing that 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds are almost exactly the same. And so I was a little like, well, I might have to wait a while. Like, it might take a minute for I'm not interested in wasting my time with someone who's not going to take it seriously, because I knew I was going to, whether I wanted to or not, which made it a really pleasant surprise. I guess the five years is all that was needed.
So it says to me, so there was some foundation laid for both of you before actually meeting each other. You had what sounds like a pretty healthy idea of what marriage was. So you were entering this with, oh, that's new. I didn't know that that's what it was supposed to look like.
So. Well, I've grown up and been surrounded by just incredible examples in my own family. I mean, my parents, John Mark and Kisten, so many of the couples in this church.
Yeah.
I have had far more examples of healthy marriages than not.
Yeah.
So for me, that was easy.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've had a lot of that too.
So counseling, you obviously had some premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm hearing, I'm being sarcastic. Did you need it?
We did.
Yeah.
We learned so much from meeting with Pastor Dan. And Dan, like I said, Dan has been my mentor for a while. So it's just been it was a natural relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had fun with them and we learned a lot with them, just going through
that's
scripture.
Great.
And you know, Dan had planned it out really well, and it was really important. I think has taught us a lot about what to prepare for, and
definitely it got us to think about some things that we hadn't on our own for sure, and that was really helpful. Mm-hmm. And just be able to get advice from Dana Moore about whatever,
and to have ears to hear it,
which is good. Yeah. So what are your hopes for marriage? It's kind of all that we've been talking about, but if you can go a little deeper here, what is your hopes for marriage?
So I kind of touched on it a little bit, but first and foremost, to be a good reflection of Christ and his bride, that we can do our best to image him and to show what that is supposed to look like as we strive to be faithful to the word of God. So that's one thing. But apart from that, down to the more particular, I hope to be able to build a life for my wife and future children. Yeah. I have many the Lord gives us to just be able to provide and, you know, have property where there can be chickens and goats.
Okay.
I was going to ask that. We got animals in the future. I'm hoping for animals.
That's the hope.
You know, with an incredible wife and an army of little disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so that sounds like, I know, Tori, you're familiar with that.
Yes.
You come from a large family and the farm thing. How about you, Jacob? Does that?
So I was a military kid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I lived most of my young life on a military base.
Okay.
So there wasn't, you know, land with animals.
Or right.
Land.
Oh, look, your dad's a farmer now.
Huh? He is. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd say farmer.
But he's getting there.
He's dedicated to his garden and his chickens.
Okay.
And he loves it. And he wants goats now, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Wants more chickens.
Right.
It's fun. But growing up, that just wasn't something that I was really around. But he grew up in that world, living sometimes with his grandparents. They they had property and they had animals and they were big hunters. So that's kind of the world he grew up in.
Okay.
And I've heard about that. And then since we moved here, he's gone all into that. And I see that.
So he's no longer in the military?
No. Okay. He retired in 2015.
Okay.
From the military.
So you like animals?
Yep.
Yeah. he better.
That was a requirement. We didn't do any prenups, but it was a requirement. There are chickens in our future. This isn't going to work.
I'm in favor of chickens.
That's That's why you talk about wanting to provide for Tori and the family. I remember Heather and I got married, and we're during the wedding, the reception line, an older gentleman came through, and I think he pointed on my chest. He says, "Now you have to provide for her." Mm. And I looked at the guy thinking, "Yeah, what's the big deal?" But it can be a big deal. It can be a big deal. But you know, as the Lord provides, it is exciting to direct it all, you know, to Him. So, so your hopes are for animals, to be a good witness.
Yes.
Kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So you got some big hopes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. All right. So I want to ask you this. What things do you have in place, if any, to help your marriage? So things like, who do you seek advice from? Mm-hmm. What does your time with the Lord look like? Mm-hmm. Prayer? Just all that.
We still like to meet with Dan and Lauren.
Okay.
As regularly as we're able.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to more recently just because of my current work schedule, hopefully done by end of August. Mm. But we still meet with them. I don't know if I could call it postmarital counseling as much as like maybe a mentorship.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's awesome. And we learn so much from them.
Absolutely.
We love them.
And we have a small group with a lot of families that we look up to. Mm-hmm. They're totally willing to call us on anything they see. If they see something wrong, they'll call us on it.
You know, that's important. It really is. We say we want that, and then we get ourselves in a community, and the first time somebody kind of pushes back on us, we're like...
We run.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Who are you? Yep. Right? Yep. So, good.
And since early on in our like dating relationship, we wanted to be in the Word and in prayer with each other regularly. Mm. So we read through Proverbs twice.
Nice.
We read through the Psalms and
do you read out loud?
Bible. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we, since then, we prayed together every single day since around when we started dating.
Wow.
And even if they're just shorter,
right?
We still pray with each other consistently.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've done like a devotional here and there.
Yep. We were reading Daily Doctrine by Kevin DeYoung together.
Well, there's some light reading.
He's good.
I love Kevin.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. It's great.
Since we've been married, it's been harder to like be in that pattern. because
of your work than marriage.
Yep, more of my work than
right,
of marriage.
Right.
But we still do it. Like we just finished reading Colossians together yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
And we always we talk about it and we pray with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't read the word that day, then we still pray with each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It's learning your rhythms and keeping yourself consistent. We're reading through the Bible and we don't do it every day, but we're still at it.
Yeah.
Yes. So when we can come together, we're not so tired, we'll read through it.
Yeah.
So we're consistently doing it, even though it might not happen every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful that Jacob had us start doing that in our dating because even now that we don't always have time to do it the same way because it's something that we quite literally built our relationship on.
Right.
It's like when we do have spare time, it's something I actually like want. It's like, oh, we have half an hour and the sun is shining outside. Can we please go go outside and read our Bible? Which wouldn't necessarily be the case if we hadn't gotten into the habit so early on. So
it definitely would have been harder to implement it now with busier schedules than you know, if we had started it like we did.
And it's very encouraging what you're saying, but I think of other couples listening, including us, it's also challenging. And I always say this,
we can drift, get away from that.
And there's a big word in our life. And that word is priorities. Mm-hmm. And so we can prioritize anything. I always talk to the guys and say, you'll get up for 4 o'clock, 4:30 for a tea time. Would you get up to read God's word at that time? And it is priorities. And so there's something about marriage that it's easy. This is a warning to you too.
Yeah.
It's easy for it to drift off, like Heather said. And before you know it, we're missing a day of prayer. We're missing a day of reading together. And then things, you know, so I challenge you guys, keep the challenge up and keep on going. So that's, it's right. So good to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe this is kind of bleeds into the next question. What part of your marriage do you value the most?
I would say our time with each other.
Okay.
Because by the time that we knew we wanted to get married with each other and Tori was back from school, we knew that was in the future. We just needed to prepare for it, to do with everything that we needed. And it was hard to just not be with each other during a lot of like the little time that we wanted to be with each other. And now to be able to come home from work to her and to wake up with her there rather than trying to find time during the day that we can be with each other.
Mm-hmm. Just 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Right. You're waking up together
and it's like, torn between, I want to be here longer and I don't want to wait too long because I'm going to have to drive all the way home. And now that is
right.
So just being with each other in those little moments that we might not have ever thought would be so meaningful. Mm. The like random monotonous things that we just don't really think of, like having that time together, I think is incredible. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Best friends.
Absolutely. That's what I was actually about to say.
So what friends dropped off? No, I'm just kidding.
We are definitely that. It's I'm thankful for that. I'm not saying, you know, there's anything wrong with having, you know, girlfriends and
you need balance. You need balance.
And I have them, but Mark's my best friend. And when, you know, we want to get up and go, you know. Yeah.
Find things that you enjoy together. So, what fears do you have or pitfalls do you hope to avoid in your marriage?
First thing that comes to my mind is complacency. One of the things that I heard before I ever met Tori was like, never stop dating your wife.
Yeah.
Mm. Just like I've heard it's so easy to fall into like a regular pattern because you're with each other every day and then these kids are in the mix.
Right.
Your focus is no longer on your spouse. It's on just life in general.
Right.
And I hope to always prioritize my wife as my wife and to never stop taking her on dates and having the time just together that it's supposed to be for us.
And that's really anything fancy. Just like set aside time to just
go on a walk on the beach.
Or
just sit with each other and read or something like that. That's one thing for sure.
I would agree with that. Especially like, I mean, our lives are busy now, but your life really rarely gets less busy. That's not really how it goes. It just kind of keeps getting more and more so. So to not, you know, never want to like lose each other in the midst of it.
Right.
There's a lot that we want to do and there's a lot out there to do. just want to make sure, like Mark, as you were saying, just that our priorities remain straight, you know, God, then us, then the other things.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is the easiest it will be. Smile.
Thankfully, muscles grow.
That's good.
So hopefully we'll just continue to get better equipped for the next hard thing that's coming.
And Tori, that is the gospel truth. It really is. Yeah. Because I wouldn't trade where Mark and I are for anything. Mm-hmm. Because it has deepened our relationship, our love for one another. And I would say it's a true love now. Mm-hmm. Because I can go to him with anything, as dumb as it sounds or as whiny as it sounds. I can share my joys. And why would you not want that, to build that? Mm-hmm. And it's the struggles and trials that get you there.
It truly is. And with building muscles, I think what's encouraging, once again, you guys are encouraging us, is that...
That's the point of the podcast today.
Yeah, it really is. And it would be encouraging for younger couples as well to be ready. You know, so for like Heather and I, we had 2 hours of counseling. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Oh my.
And
seriously.
And I was away from her for, I don't know, 3 months before we got married. Yeah. Got married and shot down to Salt Lake City. But anyway, long story short, there were things that hit us that we were not prepared for.
Yeah.
And so it didn't derail us, but it just made that so much harder.
Stronger. Yeah. It didn't make us stronger.
But it did make us stronger because we had to really fight through it. Yeah. So,
But I think it's the prayer before getting married. We knew we were marrying the right person for us.
And there was never a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. which is very important. Yeah.
All right. Fun question here. What do you guys enjoy doing together? I mean, we know you like to read the Bible. That's awesome. Always a priority. And are you learning to share new things together?
I think we mostly just like to talk to each other.
We talk to each other a lot. So you talk. You both talk we talk well to each other.
Yes. Okay. And we're very similar. I mean, like we're different in some significant ways, of course, but we understand each other very well. Like,
yeah, good.
It's not like an opposites attract sort of situation.
We're very similar. Yeah, we are also very similar.
Do you listen well, both of you guys?
I would say so.
I would say you do. I try to,
and I think Tori's a good listener too. So.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, you talk about everything that you can think of, like random. I mean, I'm always reading or listening to something theological, and I like to share it with Tori.
That's awesome. So you're a verbal processor.
Yeah, I am a verbal processor. So we talk about stuff like that too. Just like what's going on, random new interests. Mm. I mean, as Tori's gotten into like sewing and embroidering, she'll talk about that and I'll hear about it. Just all kinds of stuff.
Good for you about. And you're enjoying hearing her share that.
I care about the things that she cares about.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And even if it's not something I would ever naturally try to gravitate towards on my own, I want to care about the things that she cares about.
Yeah.
And
vice versa. She does the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think other than that, we like to go on a little adventures.
We love to. You are adventurous.
What do they look like? Give us an example.
I mean, for example, we chose Iceland for our honeymoon destination. Because
when I heard that, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What?
Yeah. Is that a mistake? No.
I'm not like an adrenaline junkie here. It's just like seeing new things.
Yeah.
Iceland, because it's an incredible place. I'd seen so many pictures. We went at the right time of year where there weren't crazy amount of tourists, and it wasn't freezing cold the entire time. Mm-hmm. And it was just, every single day was a new adventure with new things to see that we hadn't seen the day before.
Yeah.
Everywhere we drove was incredible.
Like,
the just standard driving from one destination to the next, you see more than I have anywhere else.
But yep.
Then like now we like to just explore new places, find new things.
Museums and historical sites.
Yeah. Just all kinds of stuff like that. A good food.
Every
like reel or video he ever sends me is like new recipe to try.
Or a cool place to go.
Cool place to go. That's right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We like to read together also.
Yep.
Just kind
walk
of being
beach.
Yeah, walk on the beach, being in each other's presence. Mm-hmm. And just kind of doing things, even if it's on our own but together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We don't share a ton of hobbies since mine are mostly embroidery and sewing and painting and some such. So it's really the going
do
out.
Do that too.
That would be a little strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
I think of even the sermon that we heard today was on discipleship. And so I think of you two and, okay, so communicate well. Uh-huh. At least that's what you're telling us, and I believe you. You listen well.
Mm-hmm.
But to personalize us, I'm a poor listener, and I'm not a good communicator.
He's getting worse. We are aging.
Yeah, we are aging. But when we first got married, I think I'm better now, but I was not a good communicator. I was very quiet. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I look at you two and possibly to see what the Lord would have for you in discipling other people in communication, in intentionality and all those things. So that's just, it's going to be good to see you guys together and see what the Lord does.
Underneath you, right? They will be looking, they will, and say, yep, I want that. Mm-hmm. Teach me how to do this. Mm-hmm. We need that. We're in desperate need of that.
We really
that.
Do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Last question.
I think it is. Do you have any favorite quotes or scriptures?
So, this is an interesting
I was going to say Jacob's got to have.
We saw the sneak peek of this question, and he was like listing off. Well, let's keep it to a little fewer than that.
I guess some of the more impactful ones on me. When I graduated high school, Pastor Stephen, he gave all of us graduating seniors like a little plaque. With a Jim Elliot quote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And it was still, you know, a number of years until I really took my faith seriously. I thought I was taking it seriously then, but I didn't, but that quote really shaped my early thinking about, you know, what it really means to be a disciple, mm-hmm. what it means to follow Christ. And then scriptures, one of the ones that has had the largest impact on me. I was a junior in college, and at that point was living pretty complacently in my faith. And it was Matthew 7:21-23, when Christ says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Mm-hmm. You know, as he's just discussing false discipleship, and that many will come to me on that day saying, "Lord, Lord, you know, we prophesied and cast out demons and did all these things in your name. And truly, I tell you, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Away from me, you workers of lawlessness." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
how terrifying is that?
That's scary. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I read that, it hit me like a truck.
Yeah.
It really like woke me up out of my complacentness. It was like the Holy Spirit moved and just called me to be a serious disciple. Mm-hmm. And that's the next one, which is, I mean, throughout the Gospels, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, mm-hmm. bear his cross daily, and follow me. Mm-hmm. And like all three of those taught me what's essential to actually being a disciple of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, denying, bearing your cross, denying the self. Bearing your cross and following him. Discipleship is active. It's not passive.
Yeah.
How you're actively walking with the Lord and seeking him. And I would say those three are the most impactful. I mean, mm-hmm.
Those are pretty impactful.
Yeah. I was gonna say, great foundations, right? Yeah. There's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I quote like John and Romans and Philippians all the time. So I love them. Okay. Like I read them pretty consistently, but yeah, I would say those three.
Hmm. When you're constantly having to quote such things to the youths.
So, yeah, that's true.
Who require counseling.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
I also was having a hard time taking anything specifically, but I would say we read through Proverbs straight through at the beginning of our relationship, and I think over since then we've done it a second time as well. And that's just been really impactful to me over the last couple of years, all of Proverbs, and specifically just trying to think about how to build a life where I'm acting in wisdom, you know?
Yeah.
And in parts of Proverbs, it talks a lot about, like, now I'm a wife. It talks a lot about how much power a wife has over her home. And it also, like, especially in things that she chooses to say and not say. So as a newlywed, I'm thinking a lot about how can I act and what can I say that's going to bring like life and love and warmth, to our home. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at now, but obviously seasons change.
Well, yes, but those truths stay the same.
It makes it,
I think, especially hard for us gals because we're in a culture where you can be anything, you mm-hmm. can say anything, and you know it's celebrated as a woman.
Yep.
Does that make it right? No.
Absolutely.
So it's us learning that, you know, to be rough, brash, and loud isn't necessarily a virtue.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, right. What does a Christian godly woman look like? And still be, I guess if you want to use the word appealing, that would be a podcast, would it not? Mm. Tori, we'll have to do that.
Oh, but yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, we are done with the first part of this.
Okay.
We like to do a fun, what we call lightning round.
Okay.
And these are just some words that you know nothing about. That we're going to say, and we just want your first thoughts.
Okay.
Are you okay with this?
Yes.
She looks baffled.
She's a prepared. Love it.
Trust me, you'll be very safe.
Yeah.
All right. First thing, bucket list places.
Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
That was in stereo.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Morning or evening? Evening for Jacob.
I'm forced to be morning, but
okay. Okay. Morning.
Yeah.
I'm really in reality right now.
Yeah.
Okay, but you prefer it.
Yes.
Just not awake for it these days.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm up when the sun comes up. All right. Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Sweet. Okay.
Yep.
Both, but probably savory.
Okay. That's I can't borrow my ice cream.
Yeah.
Sweet's everything.
Yeah, he kind of has a problem.
I do have a problem. Got cookies waiting for me at home.
Oh, really?
All right, kids. Kind of talked about it. Yes?
Yes.
How many?
I don't know.
Five maximum.
Okay, seven, so you're going to do.
Seven maximum.
We'll see. Because it's like, but we've never had one, right?
So, I mean, but you've been around a
We're
large family.
Very open to a big family. Yeah. Absolutely. I've seen so many wonderful examples of
you
that.
You sure have. I
I would say the best answer is how many the Lord gives us.
Yeah, yeah. That is a safe answer.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It is funny, though, you think about a number, isn't it?
Yeah, well, because I have four siblings. It's hard for me to picture less than five children. Because
that makes sense.
I'm like, well, I can't imagine my own life without any of my five. Right. I could totally have pictured as having six. And then John, Mark, and Kristen are probably our like closest other family. Right. They've got seven.
Right.
They're such a delightful, beautiful family. So I'm like, there you go. That's like a safe range.
That's right. Especially if you're both in it together. That's
yes.
the beauty of
it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This ought to really apply more to you guys than even us at this point.
Okay.
AI.
I don't know.
I use it at work. I sometimes
a lot?
Use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some AI just like built into our softwares too.
It
can be useful. I think it can be very useful. I think we can potentially get into some pitfalls with it. I've heard of teenagers using AI as companions, and that's bad.
Yeah,
it's
very, very bad. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of like AI sermons. I heard of a church that has like AI pastor, and I think that's terrible.
Scary, actually.
Awful.
I don't even understand that or like why. Mm-hmm. Why do you go there? Of course,
it's
my brain
insanity.
Doesn't.
And then there's other things like now you can't fully trust like pictures or videos.
I know. Yeah. We'll be like scrolling and looking at things and we're like, that's like a famous person saying something. And we're like, they would never say that.
Right.
That's not real. But except for the fact that we know that they would never say that.
Right.
You can't tell.
Right.
Right.
And that's concerning.
That's on the uprise. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, it can be very beneficial in the workplace and just understanding and like a quick answer. I found faster answers on AI than Googling
something. It's especially helpful, I think, most of the time when we use it's for like just like a glorified Google.
Yeah,
it's
information.
Yeah.
Have you had to address it in the youth ministry?
I think we did actually have a lesson on it.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been last year.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Being told, wait for it, no.
My dad taught me a really good lesson at a young age. So I lived in Washington State when I was in preschool through first grade. And, you know, as a kid, I was super into Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts are awesome.
Specifically.
Oh, those are awesome.
And you're speaking Mark's language.
Cold. You know, cold?
Cold or warm.
Yeah,
I loved them both. But my dad and I were home alone. My mom had taken my sister out somewhere. And I noticed he was making a Pop-Tart. And I asked him, if I can have, can I have one?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is the last one. And I freaked out, threw a temper tantrum. And he sat down, he grabbed me, he's like, calm yourself. This was your Pop-Tart. I wanted to see how you'd react to being told.
Oh.
Wow.
Yep. And that lesson has stuck with me my entire life.
So you don't throw temper tantrums anymore.
I was so upset at him, but I remember his face when he like got down on his knee and he looked at me and said, I was making this for you.
Goodness.
And so what you just showed me is not what I wanted to see.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. My dad also very lavishly used the word no. So I'm no stranger to it.
You deal with it well.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I think there's some, I can't think of what the movie is. No. Is that all you ever say? Is no, no, no.
Oh, it's Disney.
We can't think. Okay, too much.
All right.
Because we know it's a thing right now. Don't tell me no. Who are you to tell me that I can't do such and such?
Yes.
So, that's kind of fun. All right, last one. Pet peeves.
Oh, interesting.
People chewing too loudly.
Oh, girl, I'm with you.
Do you say anything to him? Huh? Do you say anything to him? Like, could you not?
Oh, to the person?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
I just try to model it. You know? You're just like, you're eating and someone's chewing loudly. And you're just like very, like, exaggeratingly mouth closed. Everyone, do you see how silent I'm being?
That's fun.
I don't even know if it's significant. Yeah. It's just the first one I thought of.
That's why they call it pet peeves. Yeah.
Like, I know I have them, but for some reason, like, I can't think of them. Like, one big one, I guess, is like thoughtlessness.
Hmm.
That it can be in any area, just
being
thoughtless, careless. And
the
way that often, or even small decisions can impact other people, mm-hmm. to just not think through those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's other little ones too that aren't coming to mind. I know there are.
So, no pet peeves in the marriage yet. I got to ask. There's got to be something.
So we just moved out of the Prescott's cottage. And when we were there, it was like limited space. So like one of us would be in the shower when the other person needed to get into the bathroom. So that wasn't really pet peeve as much as limitation.
Right. And just like learning to share this one bathroom.
Right.
We both grew up with families and siblings and stuff, which I do think eases. I imagine that
you're
marriage must be harder for
you're
an
more
only
flexible.
Child.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just...
That is true. You learn to let go of things that annoy you. I'm sure it's like, get over it. Yeah. Move on.
Yeah. Or you just don't get, you just aren't annoyed. It's just like, it's, that's just life.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Before we got married, we tried to talk about our random like subtleties.
There are all those like lists about like, make sure you check on this before you get married. And like,
what are weird things that we might do that could potentially bother each other?
Yeah.
That's a good thought.
We talked about those things and we haven't really run into anything like that yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's bound to happen. I mean, we just got married in April.
Right.
But
right.
So far.
Give it
so
a little
good.
Time.
Yeah.
When you have the conversation about the toilet paper, you'll know,
what's going on here?
Well, I mean, a couple of things we've come across so far, I think we've just sort of bent. I mean, they're minor enough. It's just like, well, I don't mind doing it your way. It's like, hardly any extra effort to me.
Right.
Sure, I'll.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'll do the dish this way instead of the other way.
Yeah, good. Give and take. That's awesome. That's well said, guys.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, what I would love to do is interview you guys in 5 years.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Seriously?
Yeah. If we're still doing this, that would
we'll
be fun to come
it's
back
a date.
Around. Yeah, and we'll just put little blurbs in there of what you guys said 5 years ago.
I don't know. They're pretty solid.
I think you're definitely on a good road, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, what a blessing to hear from such a young couple, newlyweds, and how they started, came together, and now the desire, really the desire and the direction that they want to go for. So
it's just such a reminder of the beginning days of, I know, our marriage.
Yeah.
I relate a lot to that and don't want to lose that.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. Thinking of the scripture with them coming together, it's in Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that's what God's call is when we are joined together, that we do become one and we go the same direction. Looking at our marriage ministry here at the church going into the fall, we're kind of excited in that we are striving to put together at least a new offering for our couples. And it's a ministry that's called Reengage. And so
it's a discipleship ministry that will, you know, have a start and a finish that couples will walk through together. Broken marriages, great marriages.
Yeah, all the whole spectrum. The whole spectrum.
Is to come together through this, because we can never say we've arrived and we've got this figured.
Amen.
Put us in a certain season and we'll see.
Yeah.
So
we're praying excited. That direction. Praying that direction. We'll see what happens. So
thank you for joining us.
Yes.